Yud Beis Teves, we're holding in Siman Mem, Halacha Hey, we're going to Halacha Yudalad. These are incredibly complicated halachas of Hittas Yadayim, but they're Asona Gya. Let's try to make sure that we know what we're doing. So the first thing is we discussed the idea to make sure that the water has to reach every part of our hands. And it's kedai to understand that the Ikka parts are the top part of the fingers. There's actually four different shittas in the Rishonim, and starting from the first joint to the next joint to the next joint, all the way to the wrist. But therefore, I want to just repeat something that the kids of Shulchan Aruch said in order to make sure that the hands get fully covered by the water. So he says the following. The kids says in Halacha Dal from yesterday, you're raising your fingers a little bit towards the top. And this probably doesn't have, but other achronim say to like twist your hand a little bit. So this way it covers both inside and outside of your fingers. That is the goal. Okay, hey, teaches us another part of this Netilas Yadayim. And many explain that this is really an Eitzah to make sure that the fingers are fully covered by the water. And that is, after you washed your hands, both hands, you're basically rubbing your hands together. So rubbing them together, if you see people do it, it's actually in order to make sure that every part of your fingers is covered. There's actually also a major machlekes if this ishifshuf should be done before the bracha or after the bracha. There's actually a stira in the Shulchan Aruch Rav between the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the siddur, and from what I recall, you follow the siddur. So ask what your Chabad friend does, but very interesting. Because even the Kitzur himself says, listen to what he says. He says, you should raise your fingers, which really means not above your head, but facing your head. And this is based on the Pasuk, because some actually say that Pasuk too. Big machlok is if you should or not. We'll get back to that. And before you dry your hands, you make the bracha, the Shem says, and the idea is that really you have to have a bracha before the mitzvah. But here, since your hands may not be clean, so part of the cleaning is actually shifshuf, is actually rubbing your hands. And since part and parcel of the Netilas Yadayim is also drying your hands, so therefore the bracha is before the end. Some, like I said, make the bracha even before the shifshuf. Some, what they do is they do the shifshuf before the bracha and after the bracha. Okay, now even the Kitzur says, since again, he explains the reason why we do nikis, why the brachas after washing before drying. In any case, a person should. So the kitzur has a chiddush. The kitzur says that if you wash your hands twice, so then you should make the bracha in between the washing. Most don't have this minig. Most do the minig of, like we said, of washing your hands twice and then making the bracha. And as we mentioned, the shifshuf is a machlekes. Make sure that a person has to make sure that he dries his hand fully. And it's not wet. There's a major machlekes about that, meaning the guy whether it when you're eating bread and your hands are wet. So the Gemara in Maseches Seita, it's not a good thing. Whole machlekes if it's even after you dry, wash your hands with a revius, and that's interesting that here the Kitzur doesn't mention that, but he does mention not to dry your hands with your clothing. Why? Because that causes a person to forget his Torah. Kasha l'shicha, so definitely you should watch out from that. Okay, after a person washes his hands. If a person, let's say a person washes one hand and then he touches that hand with the other hand, which he did not wash yet, or someone else touched your hand, that's a problem. Because as long as you're involved in the Netilas Yadayim and your hand or someone else's hand touched that water, so now the water became tummy. And you have to dry it. It doesn't help you now to wash it. You have to dry it and then rewash again. Now, if that happened after you already made a bracha, don't make a bracha again. Also, once your hands are dry, not a problem. Nevertheless, it's good to be careful not to shake hands and touch people's hands after. Also, now the kitzur says another big yisoid. Someone doesn't have a utensil. So what do? But you have a river in front of you. You have a mikveh that's kosher for women to go. Or you have a spring. So the halacha is, and even if the spring doesn't have 40 sa'ah, halacha is as long as you could cover your hands under the water, you can make a bracha al netilas yadayim. Some, by the way, say ashtifas yadayim, that's a shulchan aruch rav. And some say Atvilas Yadayim. My son Tirs Yadayim covers everything. I think the Meshubah holds you should make Atvilas Yadayim. Now, B'shasat Chak, this happens quite often. Is if a not often, but it happens. I've been in situations where a person doesn't have any water, only has the snow. The halacha is B'shasat Chak, you could dip your hands in snow. According to construction, no, it's not a problem as long as you have a lot of snow around. Some actually are have to be like contained by some, so let's say a groove in the ground, etc. Now, here's where the kids are discussing what's called the plump. Now, the plump is really a type of water spout, but much different than what we have today with our faucets because it was connected actually to a spring. So what you do is you place your hands close to the ground, and it's considered like you're actually washing your hand with the spring. This is really not so much what we had today, except so people actually maybe have their water faucets connected to their well. So that actually would be very similar. But in any case, regarding our faucets, we'll get back to that Blinad in a moment. First, the kids also teaches us to be careful when it comes to water that changed their color. If it's because of where they are, it's because of something else that found them impossible, disqualifies the water. If they change because of themselves, sometimes it simply becomes greenish, etc. That's not a problem. Water that was used for malacha, you wash dishes with the water, that is a problem. Or you soaked vegetables, or you measured measures with the water. Anything that you use the water for is going to be a problem. Measuring the water itself is not a problem. Some also disqualify water if it became disgusting to the degree where a dog would not, meaning if a dog drank from the water, or a chazer drank from the water, it becomes already wastewater, and therefore lechatchila good not to use it. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says it's okay, and the Mishnah, the Maaseh, the Kitzur says to watch out. So the chatchila one should be careful with such water. Now, someone that did not wash his hands and touched water, this is the key point. It does not make the water tummy. That's the reason why, really, in essence, you know, a lot of people they drive the handle of the utensil that they use to wash their hands before they wash their hands. It's a nice thing, but it's not mechiyuv. And the reason why is because water that's not being used for netilas yadayim, and you're not in the process of netilas yadayim, does not make the water tummy. And that's the reason why the Kitzur says an incredible thing. If you go out, you come out of the bathroom, and you draw water in your hands out of the barrel to wash your hands, the rest of the water is not considered tummy. The only problem is the time will be a question is if you put your hands in the water in order to clean them, because then you use the water, and we already said the water that was used from Malachi, you're not allowed to use again. When it comes to salty water, disgusting water, bitter water, or cloudy water, if they are not ro'i for a kelev, for a dog to drink, then they're really disqualified for netilas yadayim. Before washing, one should be careful to make sure there's no chatzitza. The chatzitza, by the way, applies the same thing when a woman's going to the mikveh, or even a man's going to the mikveh. The Moshe person, even a man's going to the mikveh, let's say on Har HaBayis. If a person's allowed to go to Har HaBayis, I'm talking about the bizman, when we have the Har HaBayis or whatever. I don't want to get into the whole discussion of that. It's not for now. But the point is, chatzitza means something that is going to be a partition between you and the water. So that means that a person has to make sure that his hands are clean. There's nothing on his hands. Now, part of what we said actually before is the rubbing is in order to make it clean. But here we're talking about also anything that can be even on the nails. That's why it's important that the nails are clean, especially if it's longer nails. One has to be careful that they're clean, especially the protruding part of the nail. Also, when a person has rings, women that have rings, the mashal. So if they never took off the ring, even when they knead the dough, so they don't have to take off the rings. If they take the rings off and kneading the dough, then it's considered chatzis, and you should take off your rings. Men, it's a whole discussion about men whether they're allowed to rings or not. But the mice, if they have rings, you know, there's many men had rings. So especially if there's a pearl or something expensive, you have to take it off. Someone's hands are tzavua, they're colored. So if it doesn't have what's called mamashus, there's no real residue, it's just the color. And a lot of times you have this from the ice cream example, you have ink from the pen, etc. All these things is not a problem, especially if this is part of your profession. And finally, we get to the shaila of koyach gavra. So koyach gavra is like this. Let's go back. We mentioned before the plump, basically the type of in the old days it's called the masheva. They would pump up the water, draw the water from which was connected to a mayan, to a spring. What's much more common? What's first of all the shaila? The shaila is like this: when it comes to water, the tzias adamim, what's called gavra. That means that the water has to come from a human being. Human being actually could even be a choshet of a katan, someone that's considered betzma insane, shaita, meaning not considered bechiyuva. Good question if a monkey could do it. But the point is, it can't just come. It can't just be flowing and you put your hands there. So that's why there's a major shaila, which the kids will discuss is. If you have, let's say, a barrel and you have a spigot, which is very similar to our faucets,
I remember there's tshuvas from the Achronim from Tzitzit Elias Minchas Yitzchak, whether you could use our forces today, especially today that the water is only coming from pipes. If it was coming directly from a tank of water on top of your roof, l'mashal, for example, so then it would be much better because it's coming from an actual kli. And when you open up the spigots, what you're doing is you're causing an initial flow. The problem is the rest of the water that's flowing afterwards is questionable because that's not really from you. It's already indirect from you. You remove, so to speak, the barrier. The initial removal of the barrier caused water to come out, but afterwards it's coming out by itself. That's where it's a question. So therefore, the real way to do it, as the kitzur says, is you open up the spigot and you close it. So what happens is each time you open it, you're creating a new karach gavra. It's questionable, especially today in our faucets. The mice, if you have stuck, it's better than nothing. And especially even the kids themselves, because it's hard to assess exactly how much water is coming out from you, etc. But that is today's kitzer, and so much more about on these halachas. But what can we do? We have to stop here.